Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers.
Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering podcast. My name is Aaron Weiler, also known as Aaron Engineered, and today's episode is actually a continuation of last week's episode where we're interviewing CBT Nuggets trainer Keith Barker. And to pick up where we left off from last week, I was actually talking about being sponsored by a gaming center and my brief yet illustrious gaming career. So let's pick right back up where we left off and join the rest of us in our conversation.
So, before we get off failures, because I expect people to fail the IE, did you have any failures in lower level tests like the NA, the MP, or did you just breeze through them?
You know, I have my history I could look up, but I've had several failures with CCI recerts over the years. Because every two or whatever they send me the email, you had to recert, you have to take another written in the past. And so I took, it was Cisco, let's see, about 4 years ago, I was going to recert. And I thought, I'm going to do one in a topic I don't know yet. So I went for voice, I think it was. So I studied it, took the exam, failed. Studied it again, took the exam, failed. I think I failed that 3 times. And I said, I'm done. I'm not going to recert this thing. And so I was at Cisco. I wasn't. I was like, I'm done. I went to Cisco Live, wherever it was that year. And they said, are you a CCIA? I said, well, CCIA. I was a CCIA, but I haven't recerted it. I haven't done a recert. And he goes, have you heard about the Emeritus program? I was like, tell me more. Yeah. And he goes, well, the Emeritus program, if you're more or less than 1 year out, you're not so you should have recertified right here. You're still in that 1 year window past that point. You can sign up for Emeritus status for $87 a year and you'll be a CCIE Emeritus. Well, I'll just park it for you. And then when you want to take your exams again, you can just activate it. So I did that. I was like, okay, $87 and no study. Sweet. And then, so it's now with this whole change with the exams in February of 2020. I, at CBT Nuggets, I'm creating a whole bunch of content, Encore and RC and so forth. And so I've been just taking those exams, not realizing that those are recertifying my CCIE. And now I get this email like, boom, here's all these certs. CCIE Security, CCIE Enterprise, all like, great.
Oh, cool. Nice. Yeah. Oh, and that's new for you though, because now you're a CCIE Enterprise.
Yeah. That's the conversion. Yeah. And I wasn't expecting that. I was like happy to see it. So, failures, those CCIE writtens previously were so hard. So those are some failures too. And as a seasoned CCIE who had studied, I was like, I can't do it. I literally stopped trying on the CCIE voice. I took it 3 times and the written to recertify.
Oh, so you used voice to recertify?
Yeah, I wanted to do something new.
Got it. Oh, well, see, that's your problem right there, man. You're trying to reinvent the wheel, Keith. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, man.
And so here's the last little thought. I took the exam. I thought, oh, here's all the areas I did terrible in. So I studied hard on those areas. Next exam felt like a whole different topic. So, yeah.
I could see that.
Anyway. Yep.
That's an interesting pivot.
I'll kick myself if I don't ask this, and I don't know where we're at on time. So how do you study? Do you kind of have a...
Yeah, do you log into CBT Nuggets and then start learning off of there? Or
So if they have content, absolutely. Let's imagine I'm teaching something that I've taught like before. I will watch my own content. Like every time I teach Palo Alto, I go back and look at my old Palo Alto. And goes, oh, yeah, that's how that works. Or Big IP's F5 product. Oh, that's how that works. I'm looking at my own content. Or this is so sad. This happens more often than I want to admit. I'll go to YouTube searching for something, press enter, and it's my video from 8 years ago. Like, not good.
No one ever has the problem of looking for something and finding themselves except for you.
Hashtag Keith Barker problems.
What does that tell you, man? What does that tell you? You're looking for an answer, and the only person you could find was yourself.
It's like those movies when someone records something for their future self. It's like, that's Keith, though. He's like, Google.
Like in 2012. Buy Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
For 10 cents a piece or something. So the way I study is I have a subscription to Safari Books Online. Mm-hmm. And they have like an all-you-can-eat menu. And then I'm grandfathered in one for like, I think it's $10 a month. You can have up to 5 at a time, and you have to keep them in your bookcase for at least 30 days. Mm. So I don't need more than 5 books at a time. So I have Safari Books Online for all the technical books. I will dive into those first. I love Online Doc from Cisco, if it's Cisco. It's like they've got great design guides, so once I've studied a little bit, sometimes I'll look for YouTube is it Michael Hilton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So about 2 months ago, I didn't know SD-WAN for anything. And it came up as an option at CBT Nuggets. It's like, hey, I thought, I don't know it, but you know what? I've learned things before and I can learn this. So I started searching on YouTube. I found Michael Hilton's going through building a lab, and I built the lab, and then I got books, and I had a couple other courses I tuned into to get pieces. I bought a course off Udemy. I always think of Ubuntu, and my pronunciation goes out the window.
Yep. Udemy.
So right. I went to pieces and parts, and then I labbed it up and built it, and then trained on it. And when I got to the point of training people how to build their lab, it was tight. And, you know, how to set up templates, it's tight, and the kind of templates, and how to set it up, and TLOC extensions. And it's tight. And it's like, I didn't know that before. So my study process is identify what I want to learn. I allocate time to it, read. If there's some videos that are pretty good on it, I'll watch those. I do have subscriptions to all of our competitors. I work for CBT Nuggets. I personally just invest. Somebody told me, it was back at Paramount back in 94. They said, you should really invest like 2 or 3% of your gross income in yourself to develop yourself. Whether it's, you know, a gym membership or books or gear or software or courses, don't expect somebody else to provide that for you. Invest 2 or 3% yourself. So I subscribe to all. I don't have a current subscription to INE, but I still like them. But almost everybody else I do that I just pay for. And then I look at those courses. I do. And I say, okay, who's got what on this topic I'm teaching? And how good is it? And then I say, how do I make it like way better, right, if possible? And the only way I can make it way better is to take what, you know, the conglomerate, Online Doc and everything else, and really boil it down to, if I was being taught this, what is the correct approach? Mm. And that secret, along with problem solution, guides all of my course decisions as far as teaching. So for studying, find out how it works first. If I find myself doing this, let's configure this, and I really don't get it, I need to stop and back up and say, wait, you know, like for CCNA, I love staying in the dirt. I call CCNA the underlay network and the basic protocols, the dirt. I love staying there. And that's what my YouTube channel is primarily focused on, is helping people just starting with the basics.
Perfect.
So if somebody's configuring like, you know, gateway load balancing protocol, and they've heard of an AVG, but they don't, it's like, study a little more first and then lab it up to reinforce. And that's what I do with all the technology. So 2 weeks ago, I started off with the email security appliance, the web security appliance, and Umbrella.
Mm. Okay.
Three products that I've never, I just told somebody a day ago, I'll never admit what I didn't know. But
I
you've never
grown
used
so
them.
Much.
Yeah. You guys, so I'd never used them. I mean, I heard of them. So I got eval licenses from Cisco, go through the front door, right? Ask for the eval license, got it, labbed it up, set it all up. And then I created courseware for Score, Security Core for that. And, I had no idea. Umbrella is so amazing. Do you guys all know about Umbrella?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Nope. Not me.
Nope. I don't.
So let's imagine you do a DNS request and you're saying www.myfavoritesite.com. DNS responds with an IP address.
Yep.
What if that site's malicious? Do you really want DNS to give you the IP so you go to it?
Absolutely not.
Probably cutting that off as soon as possible would be great. Well, OpenDNS can do that. And Cisco bought OpenDNS, and that's now called Umbrella.
Yep. Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yep, and so you have you have the free tier where you can point their DNS servers. That'll cut off a lot of malware sites and malicious sites. Yeah. But if you subscribe, you can then set up policies and say, no, these categories, these apps, and so forth. It's amazing. So I labbed it up in my home office here. I was like, holy schnikers, that works. So when it works, and then in the course, it's just one set of videos. I, you know, talk about what it is, how it works, what is a policy, how to create a policy, why it's needed, and then demonstrating it working and then encouraging them to get hands-on practice. So I totally forgot what question drove all that. But
so I'll tell you where
how do you study
this will actually probably this will probably help not just in your brain but like kind of where the why is, because you said, Keith, in particular, you're like, yeah, well, I like to break it down like this. So let me just help for a second. I'll break down where Andy's head is. So Andy is the type of dude that likes to plan. You know, we talked about that. But he also likes to pick people's brains to figure out what the secret sauce is, right? Because especially someone who has two CCIEs, like, that's impressive. All, on top of that, you teach content, right? That, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that you've taught. So, and you love to stay in the, you know, the blocking and tackling, we'll call it, right? The shock troops of the CCNA world, which I love that too. So knowing that, like, what's the secret for getting you from I just got my CCNA to all the way to CCIE, especially when you have six kids or seven kids? Is it, all right, it, the most important thing, if I had to take one thing away, is it the scheduling? Is it the how you study, like the mediums in which you use? Is it the lab? Like, what do you think is the single most, like, call it crucial thing to your study?
Good. Thank you for the question. So times are going to change and resources that are available to an individual are going to vary widely, right? Based on where somebody is in the world or what resources they have. I'm going to hide behind the statement of if the how or the why, rather. If a person's motivation to get it done is strong enough, this has been true for me forever. If my desire and my why this is important is strong enough, I'm going to freaking figure a way out how to do that. And that's what's been my secret, is that scheduling time is important. There's tricks you can use, such as, you know, setting small goals and making sure you meet them and commit to others. All those, you know, Atomic Habits is one of my favorite books. Same. About getting stuff done. But I would say that the most important aspect is the why it's important to you. Mm-hmm. And I used to have a written page goal that I wrote that said, I, Keith Barker, and the date was 10 years from now. I saved this. I still have this. This is my oldest thing I possess, I think. And it says, I, Keith Barker, on this date will blah, 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 blah. And there's no magic. I want to just tell everybody that I'm a super critical thinker these days. I think that people, there is luck. And I think the harder people work, the luckier they get.
Yep.
But if we stay focused on our goals, that I probably will never get to impact a billion people. That's right. Okay. But it's still my goal.
You'll probably come close, to be honest.
I don't know. If I can honestly say that I feel like there's a million people, that's a lot of people whose lives are just a little bit better, and this podcast can help with that journey.
Yep.
I'm going to leave a happy person, really.
And it will. I promise you. Because you've even just like, it's funny because in your vernacular, there's tidbits that you don't even realize you say anymore probably, but I was like picking them up. Like, for instance, first of all, the go through the front door first thing, right? Like, you know, analysis paralysis. Just go through the front door, man. Try that first. Like, you didn't call? Just call them. It's not that hard. The other thing too is like, you've said this twice. I've learned before, I can learn this. And it's like so very nonchalant. It's like, because clearly you haven't learned that before, because otherwise you wouldn't need to learn it. But you have learned something before, so I can do it again. I mean, like, we popped out of the womb and you know, learned how to breathe, you know, like, you know how to eat. Like, everybody knows how to do that. It's like, we can learn something else. If you learn how to eat, you can learn how to do something else. It's not that hard. Also, I always keep in the back of my head, some person made this. So let me just give you an example. So you mentioned GLBP. Somebody invented GLBP. Sure, it may have been a group of people, but I can promise you that all of those people sitting in the room are not any smarter than all five of us sitting right here, right? They may have more experience, they may have been doing it longer, but they're not any smarter. You know, that's like a, it's just like a thing that will hold you back if you just keep thinking everybody's smarter, because you're not stupid. So that's such good gems that you were dropping. You didn't even realize you were dropping them. So.
Have you guys met Peter Lepukov?
Mm-hmm. No, who's that?
No.
Some people are smarter than us.
Okay. I'm guessing Peter is.
Some people are, yeah. Like
so Peter
guy.
Peter Lepukov, I worked with him at INE. He's got four CCIs. He's incredible. Ooh. I'm not detracting from what you said.
No, you're right, though. There are, obviously, right? But they are definitely, you knew his name. It's an exception to the rule, you know? Like, the guy has a first and last name, right? No, I totally get that. Like, a good example, do you know who Micheline Murphy is?
I don't.
Okay. If you go on the Cisco forums at all, she's huge into data center stuff, and she was kind of like you. She went through the front door. She was a lawyer. She was like one of the first people that we interviewed on this podcast because, you know, we see her everywhere. We're like, what is her story? We got to know. So she was a lawyer. She decided, just like you, hey, it's time to pivot. So what does she do? She decides that she's going to go into data center. And just like service provider, you know, once you get to a certain point, it's like you're on your own. So she basically, just like you said, went through the front door. So she goes through the front door and she goes right into the Cisco forums. Hey, who does this? And everybody's like, we don't know, like that. So she finds the product manager within Cisco, almost like she works there. And she wrote some of the DNA center, like not DNA center, but data center and DNA center stuff. And she was telling us stuff that we had no idea about. She's like, I researched, couldn't find it. So I decided, let me go to product and help them write it. So now she's in like Cisco white papers just from going through the front door. You know,
that's awesome. That is awesome.
Dude, stories like that, just like, you know, it just helps, especially listeners. It helps them tremendously because it's so much easier to find an excuse not to do something than there is to do something. Yep. And if that's all you have, like, just look at the examples that, you know, are out there. Like, Keith, you weren't always a trainer. You could have fooled us. Honestly, like, that's why we ask, right? It's like, oh, how long have you been doing this? It seems natural. Like, tell us what we're missing here. But nobody's superhuman. We all just see the tip of the iceberg. No one ever sees that what's going on underneath it, right? So, AJ, you've been awful quiet, dude. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine.
You're just soaking it all in over there?
You guys keep stealing my questions. I tell you,
AJ's like, this Keith kid, this Keith person, this Keith elder won't stop talking.
Well, no, I'm loving it. The more you talk, the more I learn.
Until you said you were 56, AJ was 90% sure he was older than you anyway. So that he's probably still thinking about that. He's like, wait a minute. I was half expecting him to come out of nowhere and be like, so wait, you're 56, like an hour into it. You know?
So yeah, when Keith said 64, you know, born in 64, Andy was over there going,
Yeah, Keith, they like to call me the old man of the group here, so I appreciate your presence. He's it like, takes the that's attention about right. off me for an hour.
Well, there's a lot of value with the wisdom and age and experience. That's absolutely true. Our brains don't work as fast. I get that. Mine does. I'm just going to speak for myself. My brain does not work like it did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It is definitely slower. So I just have to compensate by trying a little harder and spending a little more time. I do want to put one more tip that worked for me as far as getting from away. CCNA to
please.
CCIA.
Yes, please.
I used to, back in the day, there was a thing called a check. And I would write out a check to a friend for an amount of money. Ooh. And then I would say, my commitment is this week I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And if I don't, this check is yours to cash. Now we use cash. $100, make it painful. $5 may be painful for some. Sure. If five isn't, up the ante and say, I'm committed to doing this by this weekend. If I don't do it, you can have that money. And then, is that friend going to follow up with you with love? No. That friend is going to follow up with you and say, did you do it?
Where's my money?
And then, I've done that myself more recently with saying is my crutch word. It never makes it to my CBT Nuggets videos because I edit those. But when I'm on a live stream, every Sunday I do a live stream at 10 a.m. Pacific for 11 a.m. Pacific on Sundays. I do a Kahoot quiz. We have a few hundred people show up and do CCNA questions. They're fun. Yeah. And then every Saturday at 10 a.m. I have my office hour on Discord, which is all free. People show up and they're studying CCNA, have questions. But when I listen to those back on the streams, I just want to kick myself for my ums.
Really?
Because I know better.
Mine is
like here.
I say you know a lot, and it makes me. I have a piece of paper on the wall that says, "Don't say you know."
I thought it was John.
No.
So for things like that, if I am trying to work on something, I can take the cash and give my wife. I do it with my wife. I'll say, "Here is $100 during this next live stream. If I say, one time, it's all yours." And I've always lost that money.
Oh man.
So I'm working on it.
So I bet your wife likes that exercise, huh?
We've heard you. You've been talking for well over an hour, and I don't think that I've heard an from you.
Yeah, I don't think
that's. And I'm not being nice, because I want your money.
This is conversational. This is conversational. So when I teach at CBT Nuggets, I'm actually doing this as well. I'm focused as if I'm talking to you. But in a live stream, this just creeps up on me. I'll be reading a comment and like, stop that.
You know? Yeah, but do you think that there's an element to it? Because I feel the same way. So I went to school. I was just like you, where I lasted maybe a semester. But the only difference was that I went to school for radio broadcasting. So you talked about the guy being in the pit and how ruthless it was. You know, he's yelling at you. That's how it was, like, on the air. And we had to do exactly that. We had to take the tapes. Yes, they were actual, like, tapes, old cassette tapes. And we had, I guess they were called promos or something. But there was always an element of who you are as a person. I'll give you an example. My first training job was a little awful because they didn't really like me. And that's really because everybody wore cowboy hats. I don't look like a guy that wears a cowboy hat.
I'd love to see that, though.
Yeah, I stand out like a sore thumb, and it's pretty bad. But I don't think they liked me because I used the word dude a lot.
Mm.
But what I found, though, is dude is part of who I am. And I wasn't putting it in places where I was using it as a crutch. So, for instance, dead air. I love dead air. It's so powerful. It's one of the most powerful things you can ever learn. Just being silent for a few seconds. Like, you were giving us the cliffhangers earlier. Like, that was cool. So, me saying dude was a problem to them, but it was for different reasons. I always had the ums, and I typically do, like, a thing where I say, right, like, but I say right. It's annoying. I hate it, and I'm surprised I haven't done it right now. But so having that like in my vernacular, I always felt like, oh geez, dude, get rid of the dude. Like here, I just said it like five times, but it's part of me. It's who I am. So is there an amount of that though that's just you and talking like a normal human? Because when it's flowing. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times you say or I say dude, you probably won't even notice it, and you could be sometimes you could be a little bit overcritical to yourself. So do you ever find that too? Like, is it necessary to get rid of every single
No.
Yeah.
So are you a big Lebowski fan then?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So that's my father. I'm the dude.
What
a great show. I have some fun. Sometime when we're talking privately, I'll tell you about my original exposure to that show and what was going on in my life at that time. It's a good story for another time.
Here we go. For another time.
Right. So in training, when I'm doing training, I'm pretty focused, and there's not a lot of ahs there. There's some expletives that I cut out. That's for sure. Like if I'm doing a demo and I'm getting to the climax of the demo, just to be clear. And then something doesn't go well. It's like, but as far as like an there, I'm not too worried about that at all. Yeah. And I think too that my brother who works for IBM, he's a career IBM guy. He's 3 years my senior. And so he's been there for like at IBM for 30 plus years working there. And he had a training session one on teaching styles. And they had three different trainers, three different teaching styles. This goes back to your comment, Aaron, about, you know, leaving in our personalities. They were all significantly different teaching styles, but all of them were rocking, amazing. And that's because they were all engaging.
Huh.
So people are going to forgive a dude or whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to forgive it in a heartbeat because if they're engaged, they don't even know.
That's exactly it. That's
and so
exactly
I'm with you there. So I don't know that my uhs are too critical. It probably will cost me a few hundred more dollars with my wife.
Yeah, she loves it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm actually scared that you mentioned that to me.
How do you engage a camera, Keith? Are you pretending that, you know, you're speaking to a person?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yep. So if I was teaching some topic, whatever it is, and I was all by myself in the studio, all alone, I would literally... As I am, well, you're here, so I don't have to visualize it, but I would visualize that I am talking to you. Hmm. And it's like I I lab something up. I'm all good. I practice it a few times. Take off the lab coat, and he'd be like this. Let me tell you about XYZ. In fact, I would do a problem solution. It would go something like this. You know, if you need to, blah, blah, blah. The solution is simple. We're going to bam. Here it is. And I do it as if I'm talking to you with a little extra energy, like Keith on a good day. And and that's how I do it. I used to have pictures on my walls of various students.
Okay.
I don't do that anymore because I can visualize it.
Yeah.
But just like this for the stream, so that everybody, I'm giving away my secrets here, but you guys are all down here on the screen.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't taken my eyes off that lens maybe for a few seconds ever.
Yeah.
That's because I can see you. In my eyesight, I can see that your expressions, micro express, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
And I get it. If you start going like this, I'll notice. Yeah, yeah. But the key is I'm looking in the camera just out of habit after doing this for years.
Okay.
So that brings up a different thing in my head. Because you've been a live trainer before and you did it for quite some time. I think just kind of doing the math in my head. The differences clearly are that, right? You can gauge the audience. So it's clearly a different challenge to do it when nobody's there. Do you find that you do it the same live? Like, because you said you still do some Cisco Live stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How different are the two when you're doing them?
Okay. Have you ever heard of a mosh pit with punk rock or anything like that?
Oh yes, I've been in one.
I'm a human mosh pit.
Been in a few of them.
that's my opinion of Cisco Live when I'm teaching a session. It's just crazy great. So the energy's up. 70 or 80% of the people who come there already know what I'm going to say because they just came to see me, which is so rewarding, right? It's like all these people they want to. And so it's just like a party. It's like a reunion.
Nice.
And so I teach live. It's like a party. I have it planned. Don't get me wrong. I've got it segued. I know what the problem is to get to here and what I was, you know, this part and that part. So it's very well planned. It's well rehearsed. And whoever my co-partner is or who I'm teaching with, we spend the night before going over the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we don't go every word. I'll say something like, okay, your segue to this is this topic. He'll get like this. I'll say, yeah, you don't need to say it. Just be aware. And that way it's still fresh. Just like for this podcast and this stream that we're doing, or however this is going to be delivered, we didn't have a pre-show. We didn't sit down and say, tell me, you know, like I'll ask that during the live event. So it's like a party. So teaching live, you have the people there. We can interact with them. I can see that John or Sally or Amir or Ibrahim or whoever it is, I can see they're struggling with something and I can elaborate. But training live, although it's great, probably in 45 minutes to an hour's worth of training, I can probably get the same benefit to the learner in about 5 to 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just well thought out, well introduced, and I use an analogy, like sort of like if you, what sport, AJ, what sport do you like?
Golf.
Great. So if I was going to teach a golf, something, use a golf analogy or a technology, it'd be something like, you know, some of the challenges when working with a layer two protocol like STP is like, what's better? It's a lot like golf. Lower scores better. And you can't forget that. It's like you can't undo that. You can't unring that bell.
Yeah.
So I would weave that in at the appropriate time. But if we use like and we take something that they know, excuse the mic there, something that they know, and we link it to something that we're teaching them, that increases the learning process. So
I got you.
When I'm teaching live, I just like think, what is, like for subnetting, I just thought, how would I like to learn this?
Yeah.
And what are the steps I need to take? And so I created this course called Subnet Saturdays. I took 11 Saturdays on YouTube. I put in a playlist for people for what is an IPv4 address all the way to variable length subnet masking. And somebody who goes through those 11 videos can do it. It's amazing. So
so you're saying
question again, but
no, it's all good. What you're getting at though is that what often happens to me, at least this is my experience from also being a trainer at one point, was in a live environment, especially when it's casual-ish, as in like, please make this more of a discussion than anything, you end up not getting to what you were trying to get to because things, you know, you do have to field answers, and it's okay to say, yes, great question. We're going to get to that in a minute. Or, great question, beyond the scope of this, right? So that those things are inevitably going to happen when you have a live audience. So mm-hmm. being able to cut that out, and I think that's why learners are so adept or maybe apt to going towards like a smaller chunk, like a smaller video, because I'm the type of person that just, I want it quick and dirty, man. The shorter you can make it, the better. Let me be the one that asks for more. You know, like I never go to the buffet. Everybody does this. Everybody goes to the buffet and piles their plate up. First plate, not me. I go, I sample just a little bit of everything, and then I go back. And now I'm ready. Now I go in. Last thing I want to do is waste a whole plate of food, you know? Like, what if I get something I didn't like? So I want to be able to find those little pieces, and then I want to take more as I need it. A great example, too, OCG. I don't want to read the whole thing. I'm going to employ the 80-20 principle right off the bat. 80% of the stuff I need, it's irrelevant in that. I mean, we know it. This page is like there's 1,000 pages in this thing, right? Do you really need to memorize every page? No. But nevertheless, like if you could just filter through the information and just get it as you want it, it becomes more of like a, like I asked for that. Like I'm not being like forced to, you know, it's like, well, you need to know this, but you need to know, make sure you write this down and da da da.
Are you telling me I don't have to read the Encore OCG? Because this is great news.
I never said that. I never said that. I never said that.
So the CBT videos, the CBT videos are a hoot. You'll love them.
Yeah.
So going from in person to live to online training or to pre-recorded training, there are benefits to a live class. I mean, if I'm sitting in a class with Aaron and we're learning about some technology, Aaron and AJ and everybody else brings a lot of experience of the work, you know, what they've done to the, and those stories you can't get through live training or through our recorded training. Right. So there's some benefits also for a trainer to, or for a person to get out of the office and actually focus on the content if they're taking it live physically. Those are huge benefits that I never want to say aren't true. But at the same time, those courses that I've been to are $2,000 to $4,000 for 1 week for one person plus travel. And so it's not very cost effective because at the end of the day, the trainee, although if they keep the book, they're not going to remember a lot of what was taught.
Yeah.
And so those are some negatives. So I teach online. I want to make the best online content I can.
Yeah.
And just realize that there are pros and cons to each.
So here's a question, because you've got lots of stuff. And when you actually told that CCIE story, your first one, your route switch story, where something was punched down wrong, you have a video about that.
I've got, I think, like 300 videos on my channel.
Yeah, no, because I've heard you tell that story before. And
okay.
Because I remember it. And I think it was in a room, but it wasn't the room you're in now. It was in a different room. I think there was a closet door behind you.
Yes, that was my other place. So I still have that. I'm just transferring everything here.
Yeah, you had what's that thing called where it's like on continuous momentum or whatever? I saw that.
Oh, you can't. Yes, it's still up. It's in a different camera shot.
Oh, okay.
But, in fact, I can change the camera angle if you guys want to see that.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Now we're getting fancy. All right. Talk to us about capture cards, would you? Yeah.
What are you going to
the gear you got over there, Keith?
Flexus.
Okay, let's see if that worked.
Yeah, give us that shot that we do. It's like, that's even not better. On. That's even better.
I like that
picture. Camera's not on.
Which angle is that?
You guys,
that's the I'm hiding. Yeah, change this one more time.
Yeah, we lost Keith.
Uh-oh.
That's actually a funny idea because I might change my work picture to something similar to that, just so when I'm not there, it looks like I'm just like hiding. Like, that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Okay, let's try that one more time. Hold on.
So you got two cameras in there. One's a webcam, I'm assuming.
Oh no, this is not flying. Okay,
it's all good.
Google doesn't like you.
All right, trust me, the perpetual motion machine's over there.
Okay,
I just put up this new camera today. I'm going for two similar cameras here and there, and I haven't worked all that out yet. But
what
I
camera
did,
are they?
I've got a cam. Thank I've got you. A Sony
A6400.
And now I have two of them, so they're ones right here. It's the best. I had to manually set the ISO and the shutter speed and the f-stop and all that. But I'm using on this camera right here, I have a Camlink 4K. That's a device that you plug in your HDMI to that. What you're looking at right here is a $20 HDMI capture adapter dongle.
Okay.
From Amazon.
Huh. Nice.
And it doesn't do 4K, but it's for what I do, it's probably as good as the Camlink 4K, and it's $20 on Amazon.
Okay. Hey, Andy, did you hear that? He's on a mirrorless camera.
Oh yeah, we got a big Dan's a jack of all trades here. He's a professional wedding videographer.
Nice.
Yeah. So he
Mazel tov.
He knows a thing or two about. I mean, and I'm talking incredible shots here, Keith. And the strange thing is, like, he's got these two people embracing, and check this scene out, man. It's like this is my wife. She doesn't look like this. This is my wife, and they're just kind of locked here. The freaking sun is setting like right here,
oh, yeah.
And this dude's doing like a pirouette, like around. That's not an official term, pirouette. That's like a ballet thing, but you know what I mean. They're doing a circle, like a little circle thing. It like music going and slow mo, and we didn't know that he did any of this till like 2 weeks ago. This is why it's so weird, because it was epic. It was great. And we were like, what in the heck? Why are you hiding this from us? So the guy over here knows a thing or two about a couple of things. One's videography, but check out Dan. Move your body for a second.
Which way?
You got to show off this just completely out of the way, because I want to see what's behind you.
It's a mess.
Look at how this guy built this rack. How cool
is
that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Is that a 3560 in there?
No, so there's a 4510 right here.
Okay.
And then I've got 3550, and I think those are 2960 or 2950s, and then some 2800s. I think those are 19 whatevers, and some really old ones right there. And then I got some Rocky Gear up there too. But yeah,
that's so awesome.
Custom made. Look at that thing. He's like a jack of all trades. Yeah,
but
like
definitely a master of none. So
that's all of us. Keith, tell us one thing that you're absolutely awful at.
Yeah, we need to know.
Yeah, we got to make you human.
You have to be bad at something.
Yep.
I've got a plethora. Do you want sports related or otherwise?
Otherwise. Actually, I'm going to be more specific. Something in tech that you were just bad at. Does that exist, first of all?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm crazy.
Not surprising anybody.
Aaron, just stumped Keith.
No, so Daniel, you'll appreciate this. Okay. So I was setting up a new camera today.
All right.
The A6400, which is this one right here. Yeah. And I had both cameras back-to-back going through the settings. And you're familiar with the Sony menu system?
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It's great. There's so many great options. It's like, I just want one.
Yeah.
Right? So I had to call after an hour of trying to get, I have another camera. All the settings are there. All I have to do is mirror it. I could not get the, it was the ISO or the f-stop, one of the two. I couldn't get it going. I had to call my son.
Okay.
Right? My son also is a videographer. He's also a programmer.
Nice.
Fantastic, smart kid. And wow. It's like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Go here. I thought, I am the dad calling the son. How do you get this thing working? I can't get it working.
You're not just any dad, though. Either. Yeah. Like, let's be clear about that. You're like, my dad is not Keith Barker. Like, my dad couldn't figure out what HDMI input to put on the TV, and he FaceTimed me and tried to talk to me for a solid 15 minutes while he was on mute, and I could just see his lips moving, and he could hear me saying, dude, you're on mute, unmute me, and he couldn't figure it out. So, yeah, you're not just any dad here. You're Keith Barker, and you're calling your son. Like, if I'm your son, I'm running that up the flagpole.
Oh, yeah.
I'm putting that on Twitter. Yo, dad just called me.
I did tell him, though, just like for the office hour I do every Saturday, I want people to come prepared, right? Do your work. Study. If you have questions about whatever it is, let's talk about what you studied and how it works. So I told him, hey, Paul, I spent an hour on this as my first defense. And then it took him like – so that's something I'm not good at. Initially, I thought I can just use this camera. And, you know, Chuck Keith is a huge inspiration for me.
Yeah.
We worked together at CBT Nuggets. He took videography and the whole experience to a whole nother level. That's why – I'm no longer in that white office with just, if you look at any videos from like a year and a half ago, it's the white background. Hi. Yeah.
No, the sloth was there.
I was
the OGIT sloth.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's still around.
I was going to ask you, like, how did you get to where you're, because you sit here and say that, but it's like you have an an awesome set right there. Like,
okay, so the art of engineering is a lot like the art of getting a studio working. I had to realize that just like going into football, there's going to be some pain. And just get ready. You're going to have to adapt, Keith. You just can't have everything done on cruise control. So, like with the cameras, I had the C920, whatever it was, and I had the Brio, which are webcams. And it took me a long time to really believe that you have to have a lens bigger than a pinhead to get the image. And so I bought that Sony there, and then I bought this one like this week for a second camera. I'm going to feed them both in. I had to learn that I can't use the auto features. I got to tweak it. So I was like, okay, once I agreed to that, great. Then my daughter, who is, she was born in 88. We can do the math on that. I will do it before her birthday, which is December 14th. She's
33.
Thank you. That's helpful. So
32. She's turning 32. Sorry.
Okay. I'll still double check my math.
Yeah. My wife's
so in the other office, it was all white. And I said, I need your help. Can you help me? She's a designer. She is very creative. So she bought me the fake bricks and the paste on wallpaper and the lighting. And she did that whole thing like one weekend.
Oh, wow.
And so so my wife and I bought this house in April of last year. And this used to be a carpenter. I have a video on the transformation if you want to see it. But it used to be a carpenter shop off the garage. So I totally just decked it out. I have air conditioning in it, you know, with a mini split and all the lighting. And this is like the 15th rearrangement of this office to try to get it to where I want it to be. So it's just like the art of engineering, though. It's like some new topic, learning it, studying it, or troubleshooting it. I remember working with, the Department of Navy or whatever it was. They had some system they were putting in. I'd never worked with it before. And it was just a matter of, okay, like, what do I know? What kind of information? And just take it from wherever we are at and just do better and better and better. That's really the secret for network engineering or life. It's just
anything.
Be honest and then just make it better and make it better. And some people start very fortunate and some people start very unfortunate. And that's life. I guess the biggest lesson is life is not fair.
Yeah.
And it never will be. So anybody who thinks it, life's not fair, you're right.
You're right.
Put one in your column and then start working towards making it a little better. And so people in geographic locations where they don't have an opportunity, it's tough. I mean, the people on my channel, I like 5,000 people on Discord and, you know, a few hundred people that join us every Sunday for the quizzes. These are people that are working to make a difference. They're from all over the world, everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
And if I can just help them just go one notch closer and implant in them the idea that don't take this training, don't learn this just for a test. Learn it to know it, because that's where your value is going to come out. So you can actually be I remember the first time I actually used my skills, like back in the 80s, to actually do something productive in a production network to fix a problem. I was like, I can do this. From what I know, I can solve this problem, and I just kept on growing. So, anything I can do to help the general, and that goes for you guys too. If you're studying something that I can help with, dude, let me know. I'm an open book.
Yeah, that's like careful, man.
Andy's salivating. Yeah.
Well, the office hour every Saturday on Discord is like from 10 to 11 Pacific time. Adjust your calendars, and I tell people the focus is CCNA, but after that. If we always have CCNA questions, but if people, I chat with people all the time, they'll have a question for me or a request. Some of those call them right there and we'll have a chat and discuss it.
Oh, wow.
If they've studied something and they need clarification, I'm happy to do it. And the number one response is almost consistently, I can't believe I'm talking to Keith Barton. <I'm> the thing is, I'm available. I'm not hiding. My schedule permits me about 20 hours a week that I can devote to social media, YouTube, and the office hours and the quizzes. And then I spend about 40 hours a week on CBT Nuggets content. And it's not really taxing because I get to work in this really great space.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I get to do something I'm passionate about. And so it's a great life.
I think you just hit on something there too. So talk about, does being in that space kind of help you feel creative and motivated to study
the physical space?
Yeah. Like that office that he's in. Cause I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like just seeing that's like, holy crap, that's cool. Like, Right. How cool would it be to be in an environment like that? You know, I don't know.
Very.
I'm in my laundry room.
Yeah. I'm in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And so this is this is very helpful. I mean, part of what I really like, let me share with you something that's really important to me.
Trash can?
It's a trash can.
Okay, okay.
It's an IKEA trash can. It costs very little money. And it's part of the infrastructure. It's part of my infrastructure here. Hmm. And like those servers are part of my infrastructure. Right. And this computer system and the cameras that are mounted, I'm tweaking still. So the thing is, I can come into the studio, and here's how it applies to everybody else too. I can come into the studio, and I can just go.
Yeah.
I know every night before I leave the studio, I jot down what I'm going to be studying the next day or what I'm going to be teaching or working on. And that way, when I come to the studio, it's like, and I call it the studio too. Just, yeah, straight in. It's like, in fact, I'll write down the topic. I'll write down what resources I'm going to use, like online doc or YouTube or whatever, what labs I'm going to attempt. And then I can get right to work and start going at it. But it doesn't have to be like this. The infrastructure could be, I'm going, this is from James Clear, Atomic Habits, great book. Yeah. It's, what are you going to do? When are you going to do it? And for how much time? And if you just commit to 2 minutes, I thought this was total baloney when I first heard it. Yeah. But James Clear said, set a commitment for 2 minutes of doing something and then do it. If you want to quit after 2 minutes, go ahead and quit. And
you won't though.
Most of the time I won't.
Okay.
So I do that with exercise right now. It's 15 minutes on the cart on the elliptical. And
That's it.
And sometimes I will go for 30, but a lot of times I'm like 15 minutes. I've got all the stuff going on in my head about what I'm going to teach today. I'm done. But you know what? Guess what somebody gets if they exercise 15 minutes every week, every day of the week, they get all that exercise.
Right.
And so it's just like for studying, identify where you're going to do something. Prepare yourself for it. Get that infrastructure set up and then just do it. Whether that's a table at your kitchen table or whether you have, you know, family and things going on, let them know. But setting up those habits, and it gets easier as you get the habit to do it. And I would encourage everybody to do it.
Atomic Habits is the one, because I have a bunch of those books. One of them is Habit Stacking. Very similar, but is that the one where he talks about, like, hey, if you want to exercise, destroy all the barriers, so like put your shoes by your bed in the morning if you plan on running in the morning, right?
Yes.
Because you know who's really good at this? And I've known this for a while. You guys don't know her. It's my wife. Her, if I turn on the light back there, you'll see she's got a pile of workout clothes just sitting there on top of her shoes. And she does that, and she does that with her work clothes as well. They're all hanging on a hanger in there. 24 hours, like sometimes while she's getting ready for today, she's putting those clothes out. Like, I always like, this is the most insane. Like, this woman's insane. I mean, I love her, obviously, but like, she's insane. Like, who has time for that? Who does that? And then, like, I'm so stupid. Just years of me going, like, why do you do that? And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I should probably do that. Like, I'm so stupid. Even though all I'm right. The one that read the books, she's never read anything like that.
You all know? Right, Aaron, I've got a question for you. What are you committed to starting for at least 2 minutes that you've been procrastinating?
Ooh.
That's a good question. I would say, so first of all, you opened up Pandora's box. I do the same thing, right? Like I write down stuff that tomorrow's task list, but I turn the page to the fresh page, write those things at the top of the page and turn. And I used to be very electronic, and I've since switched back to paper because the tactileness of it. Yep. It helps, man.
I'm with you.
As much as like a digital nomad as I am, like I have the ability to do it everywhere. iPads, this on this, whatever.
Yep.
I will say this. One thing I don't do enough is just that, which is getting up out of my seat. And that's coronavirus for you. Cause I was a gym guy every day. I was there for an hour. I was on the elliptical for the whole hour. Believe it or not, I was watching something that you were teaching, which is even stranger now that I think about it. But that's what I did on the elliptical, but I don't do that anymore. And I've just gotten out of the habit. A part of it was like, hey, the gym's closed. But again, it's not stopping my wife. She's on a 260-day streak right now of working out every day.
Wow.
And we've been locked down for 260 days, right?
Wow.
Dang near. And she's a very healthy person. She's a dietitian, so I don't want like to make it seem like, you know, she's not it in there, but
sounds, but like, yeah. You married up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back to the question, what are you committed to starting?
So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to walk the neighborhood for a half hour every day.
Okay. Will you text or Slack or hit me up on Discord and let me know next week?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-oh. Awesome.
I got you, bro.
Andy, you're next.
Oh, shit.
No, Andy's is easy.
No, no, no. That was his. You know how, you know, when you get a little older, sometimes it doesn't happen for you.
I've really been struggling with being disciplined about studying. So, and I talked to AJ recently about committing to 20 minutes a day, kind of like what you were saying, just commit. And so that's, and I told AJ I was going to do it 3 days ago and I did it one of the 3 days. So I'm slipping already. So I'd like to commit to 20 minutes a day studying.
How many, like 7 days a week or five or what?
Five probably. Be realistic.
And what time? What time would these 20 minutes show up?
After the kids are in bed, so like probably 9 p.m.
9 p.m.
Yeah.
All right. Can I hold you to that next week?
I would check
up on you.
Yeah, I would love that.
I love it because making this commitment because it's now part of the permanent record, right?
Yeah.
Oh, now everybody's gonna hear it, Andy. That's now good.
It just gives you a little positive pressure, and I'll share mine with you too, but not until we hear from AJ
and Dan. You're not getting out of this, Dan.
So, you know, after listening to you guys, I have to commit to getting back to eating better and working out, because before the pandemic, I was in the gym 6 days a week. I would go in, do, you know, some sort of weightlifting, something like that. And then I would do some sort of cardio for half an hour. I embarked on this weight loss journey last year, and I went from 280, 290 pounds down to 235 pounds.
Way to go.
And unfortunately now with the pandemic, you know, the gym's closed, and then, you know, we were home all the time and we started making some bad choices, and that just started to feel comfortable. We went back to bad habits, and I haven't put all of that weight back on, but I've put some of that weight back on, and I'm not very happy about that. And I keep talking like, oh, I'm going to do this, and then I never do it. And so I think I'm going to get out the gym clothes, get ready, and you know, try to go for a run here some morning, or maybe do some cardio in the living room, because it's starting to get real cold outside up in Vermont.
Yep. Okay, but, so I'm going to give you – is it okay if I'm tough with you right now?
Oh, please.
Oh, boy.
All that sounds too fuzzy to be measurable.
No. Smart. I was just about to say like 3 days a week, you know, at least 15 minutes a day to start. And then we'll go from there. Like, I got to do something because I'm right.
And what is going to be the 15 though in the like exercise in the living room, or what are you going to do?
If the weather's nice, I want to go for a run. If it's too cold outside, I'll work out in the living room.
What does work out in the living room mean?
You know, usually do like some cardio. There's a couple of YouTube videos that are my go-tos. Like, oh, when I'm traveling, I'll pull those up on a computer in my hotel room and do those.
Well, AJ, you rock. That's awesome. Okay, Daniel, and then I'll go too, because I'm not going to leave myself out of this party.
Yeah, we're not going to let you.
I got to think of something very simple. Hold on. No, definitely studying for Encore. I need to kick it into high gear. So, now, for me, I can study usually around 7:30 at night because I got to put the kid to bed and all that. So I think I'm going to try to do the same thing. How many days did you say, Andy? Five?
Yeah.
All right. I tell you what. I'm going to do five. I'll be right there with you, Andy. Okay.
Ooh, you guys should do it. You guys should do it at the same time and text each other.
To study. Like, hey, are you studying yet? Like,
you're both East
Are you
Coast.
Both? Are you both in the same time zone?
No.
Yeah, you're in Central?
Yeah, I'm in Central.
Yeah.
Oh, it goes down and around you, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. So Tennessee split in
Indiana.
Well, Tennessee split in half, or well, I say half. It's But anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's awesome. I look forward to hearing your success. It's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. So, I have had a challenge lately with strength training. My cardio is great, 3 days a week, no problem, sometimes four. But I've got right out in my garage a weight rack that I put there that hasn't been used in like a month. So I'm committing to three times a week, at least 30 minutes of weight training. Wow. So I will follow up with you on that, and I'll be better for it. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to commit. It's like everybody's like, oh, we're never having Keith.
Just make us do work.
But we just cut this whole part of the episode out.
Just think about it, though. It's going to be great because when, you know, we follow up with each other in a week, And I have done 3 workouts. And Aaron, you've done your...
Every day, 5 days
walk
a week.
Every day. Yep. And Andy's doing the study. And AJ's doing 15 minutes of cardio 3 days a week, right?
Yep.
And Daniel's studying for Encore. And I've got more muscle tone, which I need at my age. It'll be great. So anyway,
that
sorry
was
for
cool.
putting you on the spot.
No, I like that.
What's funny
like that.
About that, the whole situation was, first of all, it was awesome. Second of all, I implore everybody out there to do the same. Please find an accountability partner. Everybody that's listening to this is either in our Discord, Keith's Discord, or both. So yeah. You don't have an excuse. Find somebody. You're hearing it. More likely, someone you know is hearing this as well. And if they aren't, make them hear it. And then make them your accountability partner. And inadvertently, we hit a perfect time. And for
well, hey, hang on, Aaron. We can't end on this because there's a video series on Keith's channel that he has about improving your life.
Okay? Yeah.
And there's like 5 or 6 videos. They're fantastic videos. We obviously don't have time now to get into them. But on the note that, you know, we just went around and made this commitment, I think that anybody listening to this needs to go watch those videos.
Yeah, that's your commitment to us.
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. If you're listening, thank you. That's your commitment to us.
Absolutely.
Just to listen to that. Yes,
how do I find your Discord, Keith? I'm Googling Keith Barker Discord, and I'm not getting it.
Yeah, probably the fastest way to get there is go to any YouTube video I have that's been last year. Okay. And just there's always a link there.
In
it's
the
a
show
free,
notes.
It's an invite.
All right, thanks.
Oh, sweet. So yeah, that brings up a good point, too. So in the show notes, we're going to put, first of all, if you don't know Keith's at this point, you are living under a rock, or you're Dan, who just got Twitter 2 months ago. But if you don't, we're going to put all of his information in the show notes. That includes the Discord channel. That includes the YouTube stuff. That includes anything else we could possibly think of. Maybe even a link to Atomic Habits if you feel so inclined to buy it. It's a really good book, I promise you.
Got it.
Yep. We've been doing a lot of good books around here lately, so that's been cool. Keith,
awesome.
Do you have any little I'm just a pun monster today. Do you have any little nuggets of wisdom for us to like final goodbye?
Yeah, I've got one final one. You never know who you might be working with again or for. Mm. So... just from a business perspective alone, it pays to be nice and kind to everyone.
Yeah.
And I don't know how karma works, but I know that if you're nice to people and you care about people, that it's a lot better than when you don't give a darn. And so just find a reason to make sure that you're just that we are kind to everybody, because the world's a hard place. And if we can make somebody's day a little bit better, somebody once told me, imagine that the person you're talking to is going to die tomorrow.
Whoa.
And what would you say to make that person's life just a little bit better today? Hmm. And that's extreme, because I'd probably spend an hour with that person.
Yeah.
Recounting their life and the great things that have happened. But that's good coaching. It's always, I learned that at Paramount Pictures from a contractor there who I admired. He was fantastic. And he told me that secret and it stuck with me. The other thing I would also suggest is a lesson from my dad, who's 91.
Wow.
And he said, Keith, always do more than what you're paid for. And the story that went with that, which is quick, I'll tell it briefly, is an old town 70, 80 years ago with 2 corner stores, one on each end of town. And whenever they'd run out of supplies, they would help each other. They'd help their guy from store A run over to store B and say, I need to borrow 10 cans of peaches. They'd write a list and go back. And the guy at store B noticed that the helper, the kid at store A, was always running, motivated. And he asked his boss at store B, he said, why is that kid from store A always motivated? And the guy said, because that kid's going to get a raise. And the kid said, how do you know he's going to get a raise? And the owner said, well, if his boss doesn't give him a raise, I'm going to hire him and I'm going to give him a raise.
Wow.
So doing more than what you're paid for, having a good attitude, is going to best serve you. And then if you increase your skills at the same time, it's a winning combination for a long-term success. And it's a great way to be happier than other outlooks. So that'd be my closing thoughts for anybody who is interested in improving their life, is do a little more than what you're paid for and be kind to everybody.
Wow. Yeah, that's a perfect place for us to put a bow on this bad boy. Thanks so much. I know, like I say this every episode, but I also say that every episode. I sort of speak for all of us here when I say, and that includes the Discord group, thank you for coming on here, because it's been like nugget after nugget, no pun intended, or maybe there was a pun intended, gem after gem, you know, morsel after morsel, however you want to define that, on top of the other stuff. And plus, you know, I think people enjoy just finding out that you're actually human, because sometimes you just look otherworldly, my friend, and that's a compliment. So thanks for your time, dude. We'll put all your stuff in the show notes. If you haven't yet followed us, get on the Discords. Let's study, improve your life. Let's go. Thanks for joining.
Everyone, this is AJ. See ya. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Art of Net Eng. That's Art of NETENG. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.